It's time for Eco Talk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
But things are a-changing. Welcome to Eco Talk. First up, we will check in with Congressman Henry Waxman of Southern California. He is one of the most active members of this 110th Congress, from Valerie Plame to Bush's brand of political science, to citizen rallies to fight climate change, to the Gore hearings. Representative Waxman is right in the thick of it, proposing practical yet ambitious solutions and asking the tough questions. Welcome to the program, Congressman Waxman.
Thank you. Pleased to be with you.
We are wrapping up a very green week in Capitol Hill, particularly in relation to climate change. Have your thoughts or views or opinions or hopes changed at all this week?
I was very encouraged this week by the appearance of former Vice President Al Gore, who testified before two joint committee meetings in the House and a committee of jurisdiction over in the Senate. That was very, very helpful because it drew a lot of attention to the message he's been bringing about how we need to get going on dealing with global warming and climate change. Another thing that happened this week is that there was a wonderful group that rallying to insist on legislative action to stop the carbon emissions that are causing greenhouse gases and climate change. And that rally, I thought, was a shot in the arm for all of us who are fighting this battle.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because we spoke to the organizers of that rally a couple of weeks ago and we tried to promote it here. And I hear it was well attended, maybe 3,000 participants. And yet I was watching CNN for an hour and a half, just wait in the middle of the day when it should have been wrapping up in D.C. to see if they'd mention it. And the whole hour was focused on the Boy Scout who was found and the boy who got stuck in the trench and yet another boy who died accidentally. Not one mention of it. So in a way, we've come a long way. In another sense, you know, it still isn't considered top of the news, although certainly Al Gore's appearance was a highlight this week. Maybe they were just saving up their climate change time coverage for Wednesday.
I think it says more about the press and what they think is important.
Yeah, definitely.
Not what the American people want to know most about and need to hear about.
Yes, I guess that's what I was referring to. The mainstream media still is not quite seeing this as the urgent issue that Al Gore is telling us it is.
Well, they don't see the climate change issue as the urgent issue. They don't see the war in Iraq as the urgent issue. They've never seen the deceptions and falsehoods from the Bush administration in so many different areas. They can't avoid it now that with Democrats holding hearings and trying to lay out these issues of concern. The press can't avoid it any longer, and so we're getting more attention. But left to their own, when we didn't have the opportunity for the checks and balances that oversight can bring to our government, and we only had the press to rely on, it was they didn't rise to the occasion in many instances.
Were you satisfied with those particular hearings earlier in the week on the politicization of science?
I thought the hearing with Dr. James Hansen, who was one of the if not the most leading climate change scientists in the world. To have him sit between two men, one fellow named Phil Cooney, who was the chief of staff to the Council on Environmental Quality, who came out of the oil industry.
And went back to it.
And while he was in the position in the administration, seemed to be serving the interests of the oil companies. To have Dr. Hansen sit between him and a fellow who at the time was 23 years old, who was telling Dr. Hansen he couldn't appear in public vehicles to get the information out about his research. Mm-hmm. I thought that hearing was really impressive about how, at what great lengths the Bush administration has tried to confuse people about global warming and climate change just so the American people wouldn't demand action of this government.
And then there was a contrast between what Inhofe was saying Wednesday and Al Gore.
Yes.
Do you think minds were changed in the Al Gore testimony?
I thought that Al Gore did a spectacular job of articulating the problem and expressing to members of the House and the Senate the moral issue that faces us and how we cannot ignore it, just as the previous generation had to stand up to fascism and communism. Our generation has even another kind of issue that could be just as horrendous, and that's the climate problem that global warming offers.
What do you think of his 10-point plan? He had some pretty ambitious goals there.
He did have ambitious goals, and I thought that they were well placed. And I was pleased that he expressed not just the strong feelings he had about why we needed to deal with this issue and the damage that we're already seeing because of greenhouse gases, but that there were solutions. That we don't have to be despairing when we hear about the horrors that could occur. We have an opportunity. In fact, he used a very important expression when he said that the Chinese way of saying danger also expresses opportunity. Mm-hmm. We have dangers, but we have opportunities. And in facing those dangers, we can transform our society to become more competitive, more economically successful, and avert the consequences of a planet that is hotter now than any time in our history.
He also puts a positive spin on this great opportunity to this generation, having a chance to really, you know, come together, the great unifier. I mean, that's sort of a sequel to what you're saying, that this could be what finally gives our generation more meaning and really perhaps not only greens the red and blue states, but I guess in my greenest dreams, I think perhaps even the Mideast conflicts could stop, take a break and say, whoa, you know, we better start fighting for our planet's survival in future. Maybe that's way too optimistic, but it's been a green week. I can dream.
Yeah.
So you were there. Take us inside, you know, after Gore's testimony, what we didn't see. What kinds of comments did you get?
The people I talked to were very impressed by him. I think most of them had seen the movie, and just to have seen that movie is a real wake-up call. But to have him come with such assurance, self-assurance, and all the facts at his disposal, and the clarion call that he expressed, I think meant to all of us that now is the time for us to act. We're also getting very strong leadership from Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who wants us to move as quickly as possible on legislation, maybe even as early as July 4th, because she rightfully ties in the problem of the threat to our ecological system and our planetary environment to our dependence on the fragile source of Middle East oil and how we've got to become energy independent. They really do go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
And she is giving us very strong leadership and insisting that the committees hold the hearings and start producing the legislation. And I must say that Chairman John Dingell of the Energy and Commerce Committee, which is the committee with the primary jurisdiction, other committees have some jurisdiction, but our committee has the primary jurisdiction, I think he's determined to try to work through the legislative puzzle of getting legegislation through. And I've been impressed by it. He and I have fought over the years on some of these environmental issues, but I see him now rising to the challenge and poised to show leadership on
the
issue.
Yes, I was very encouraged when he said he's open to learning. He said, I want to read more about it. He really showed an opening, and that's what we need.
Yes.
And is there any hope for Inhofe, or is he just a dinosaur who's just going to have to get out of the way?
I think the best thing about Senator Inhofe is that he's not in the majority. He's not chairman of the committee.
And Barbara Boxer reminded him of that.
And Barbara Boxer did remind him of it. And she's the one now who I think can help mold that legislation. She also has such a firm determination to pass a strong bill that it's very heartening.
She has a firm grip on that gavel, and she used it, and that was probably the most seen clip from the day.
Yes.
When do you expect your Safe Climate Act of 2007 to stand up for vote?
I think that we're looking at possibly summertime. I think the committees have been told get to work on this thing. Ordinarily, the legislative process goes very, very slowly. But when our leadership has told us we've got to move, or they'll take the legislation and start figuring out how to get it to the floor without us, I think that's a good signal that we have a chance to act and we have the responsibility to act, but we're not going to be given an indefinite period of time to act.
Congressman Henry Waxman, I want to personally thank you on behalf of all of our listeners for your leadership. We've been watching you, it feels like, all week long and last week, too, with Valerie Plame hearings. You're most impressive. You really are what leadership is all about. And we continue to be bold, outspoken, and yet in a very calm tone. It's really inspiring.
You're very kind. Thank you so much for your
comment. Get some rest. It's been a busy couple of weeks.
Yes.
We've been speaking with Congressman Henry Waxman of Southern California, one of Southern California's LA's best exports, I would say. We'll be back with more news and views on EcoTalk, the NRDC on green video games, and an American geisha on our changing seasons. Also, we'll hear from our friends at treehugger.com. Stay with us.